Winnie the Pooh sat down at the foot of the tree and put his head between his paws and began to think. First of all, he said to himself, that buzzing noise means something. You don't get a buzzing noise like that, just buzzing and buzzing, without it meaning something. If there's a buzzing noise, somebody's making a buzzing noise. And the only reason for making a buzzing noise that I know of is because you're a bee. How many bees have you seen recently? 100? Have you climbed a tree in hot pursuit? Perhaps aided, like Winnie the Pooh, by a balloon. It is difficult to know how the global populations of these busy little insect workers are doing. They're battling pesticides and pollutions, battling it to pollinate our fruit, flowers and vegetables. We salute you, bees. Now, some people are taking this buzzing issue into their own hands or their own hives. Beekeeping is no longer something that just happens in the country. The urban beekeeper. The urban beekeeper is on the rise. A game changer, perhaps, in the vexed world of modern pollination, or just a drop of honey in a shrinking jar. Buffy Gorilla met Shay Wilcox in his back garden in an inner suburb of Melbourne to chat about bee yoga and the other delights of being an urban beekeeper.
I was talking about bees. My girlfriend bought me a book on bees for Christmas. We read the book and we're like, it sounds pretty straightforward. We lived in a pretty small house in Brunswick, not a huge backyard, but we had some friends who lived a couple of houses over. So we got two hives, one in our backyard, one in their backyard, had the bees delivered. You can just get bees delivered from the bee guy on Lygon Street. He'll talk about bees all day long if you want him to. We bought a suit, a bee suit, which cost about $50 or something. And that was a nice kind of thick cotton suit with really good heavy kind of mesh around the face and stuff and some gloves. And then we had two $7 bee suits that we bought off eBay that only came down to sort of mid forearm and midriff area and had a really flimsy mesh on the front. So the person who was dealing with the bees got to wear the good bee suit, and then the two other people who were backup bee people had to wear the flimsy suits. So it was all a bit of a schmozzle at the start.
How many bees did you get to start?
Heaps. So they come in a box. You have your own box, which has got the wax combs, and then they sort of sit up like little sheaths in the box, and then there's a little opening at the bottom of the box with a little landing strip for the bees, and then transfer some of the combs into your box and then leave the boxes next to each other for a few days, and then all the bees magically go into the good box. And then they just do their thing in the backyard, and it was so much fun. No one was stung in anger from the bees or anything. And we spent a lot of time just like getting right down close to the beehives and looking at the little landing strip to watch the bees come and go, because they do all this really cool stuff. When it's really hot, they come out of the hive and cool themselves, and they'll be sort of buzzing around the backyard. And then if it rains, they all just sort of zap back into the hive. And then when it stops raining, they come out and start drinking the water off their little doorstep and sunning themselves. And there's little bees doing like yoga on the front step of their house. When they come into land after they've been out doing their foraging, they come in with these huge yellow pollen sacks on them, and they look like little jumbo jets. They're just so loaded down with pollen, and you see them come in and just crash land on that front step and then sort of mill about for a bit and then go inside. There's always stuff to watch, so we loved it. So we got bees. Two people over got bees, and now the person behind us, after seeing how much fun we had, they've now got a hive, and I think there might be one two doors down from them. So it's really just like everyone was into it. And then the whole backyard smells like honey, because when they're really cranking up the honey in the middle of summer, the honey smell just permeates the backyard. It's really great. So we'd harvest it. You can rent a honey spinner and pull out the combs, put them in the honey spinner, which is a sort of like a drum with a centrifuge on it, and spin the honey, and then it comes out of the combs, and then you've got your own honey. And so then we'd give honey to our friends and stuff like that.
And was it better tasting honey than you had had in the past?
It was definitely lumpier because it would have bits of comb and stuff. It was good. It's nice to be able to give honey to people.
The joys of Love Bee Honey. Vicky Brown is co-owner of the Urban Beehive in New South Wales. Now, she was an apiarist before this urban renaissance, but joins us to explain the explosion of the urban hobby hive. Vicky, welcome.
Thanks, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm great. Is it all as simple as Shay makes it sound?
Yeah, if you're an urban beekeeper and just keeping a couple of hives, it is pretty simple. It's just knowing how to inspect your brood box and the harvesting of the honey is, yeah, it's great fun when you get into it.
When did you get into it? How did this get sparked for you?
I saw a couple of beehives when I was camping one time and living in Adelaide, and I realised that Kangaroo Island off the south coast of South Australia is a bee sanctuary. So I went there to have work experience and I ended up working there for 3 years and learning all about bees.
How does a bee sanctuary work?
It's got biosecurity on it. So there's no pests or diseases on the island which can threaten the bees at all. It's a really lucky place.
Well, that's a good introduction to discuss this idea, colony collapse disorder. What's that about?
CCD. Now, yeah, that's been talked a lot about in the press and in regards to beekeeping, because in the Northern Hemisphere, bees are really under threat in regards to use of pesticides, varroa mite, just overwork as well, lack of forage, and all of these things. They're not quite sure exactly what CCD is caused by, but I think it's just the perfect storm. It's just all these things the bees just can't fight against all of them at once.
We don't have that mite in this country, but are bees nonetheless under stress in Australia?
I think more than anything, it's the forage. You know, especially in the city when you see paper barks and trees like that being cut down, that does affect the nectar yields for the bees. As far as pesticides, I'm really happy to see that Woolworths and Bunnings and things like that are no longer going to be stocking neonicotinoids, but they're still used in our industry as well.
I guess that's, you mentioned there, you know, that loss of habitat, forage as you call it. I mean, it must take a lot of cottage gardens to replace one big flowering eucalypt.
Yes, that's true. And, you know, unfortunately in Tasmania, where the leatherwoods are getting logged as well, that's such an important honey for Tasmania. It's so unique. Everybody knows leatherwood and so many people love it as their favourite honey. So it's sad to hear that they are getting logged down in Tasmania, and that's a loss of an industry.
So urban beekeeping, I mean, I guess it's always been a thing here and there, but when did this start to kick off as a trend?
I guess when I first moved to Sydney about, 12 years ago, nobody was really into bees at all. You know, you'd say that you're a beekeeper and you'd get a little bit of a negative response. People in the last 8 years, I would say, have become more aware of the food that they eat and where it's coming from, and also wanting to keep chickens and plant their own gardens. And the great effect of that is that they need pollinators. And everybody's like, oh, I'd love a beehive as well.
There's a virtuous circle there.
It's a bee renaissance. It's kind of come full circle. You know, it used to be quite common to have bees in gardens, especially in suburbs with high Greek or Italian kind of populations.
Is it entirely risk-free? Bees do sting.
Bees do sting. That is true, unfortunately, and it does hurt, which kind of makes a lot of people, you know, a bit shy about having bees. It's very rare that you would have anaphylactic reaction to bees. And I guess just keeping calm bees is about genetics sometimes, just making sure that your bees are calm.
And being calm yourself around them, I think, is important, is it not?
Exactly. You really do need to be calm and zen and take your time and not rush them at all.
And
the
smoke.
More calm. Yeah, a little bit of smoke. That's right. Just a little bit.
How many times a week are you stung?
Oh, it just depends. If there's a thunderstorm coming, I can get stung, and I don't realise it, but the bees do. I can get stung a couple of times, but I don't work with gloves. I do work with a veil because I don't like them to go up my nose or in my hair. But I'd say maybe a couple of times, but it's rare. It's very rare. I get sad when they sting me because they do die when they sting.
Yes, it's bad for both of you, isn't it?
Yes, more so for the bee.
I mean, that's an interesting thing you say, you're working without gloves, and many people who work a lot with bees, that would be what they would say because they want that delicacy of feeling in the work that they're doing.
Exactly. You really do feel the bees on the frames and you're less likely to squash them. I always say to beginner beekeepers, though, do wear the gloves because it gives you the confidence and you learn to read the bees' behaviour before you actually go straight in there. So you're a lot more gentle with them after you've worn gloves for a while.
What tip would you give, I mean, to someone listening to this who thinks look, that does sound like something I wouldn't mind trying, what would you say to that person?
Oh, I would recommend looking up your local bee club. There's, if you look up Amateur Beekeepers New South Wales, there is a page which will show you your local bee club. And the majority of bee clubs have field days where the public can come along, get kitted up and have a look inside the beehive. A lot of people haven't seen inside a beehive, and it's always a surprise. I love watching people's faces when you open it up. And, you know, just before you really commit to getting a beehive, just make sure that this is something, you know, you're really into.
Do you need a certain amount of space? I mean, can any sort of urban backyard, courtyard be appropriate?
Not exactly. You really do want to think about the bees' flight path. You don't want them next to clotheslines or carports, because when the bees come out of the beehive, they do go to the toilet, and they can go to the toilet and it's not very nice to clean up. So just making sure that the flight path is clear, making sure there's no bright lights so they don't think that the sun has come up. Once you turn on the kitchen light, they can be attracted to that. Making sure that there's enough sun. They really, if they're in a lot of shade, they just don't warm up in the morning. It's kind of like us. You need that sun to really wake you up and get you going.
And you mentioned before that their reaction to weather, to things like thunderstorms, they must be a thing that brings you a little closer to the natural world in your urban living.
Yeah, I think I check the weather every morning, and I wish it was always correct. Some days you're like, oh, I won't do it today, and then it's the perfect day.
I'll go and ask the bees.
No, it is fun to watch them. Just listening to the little sketch I had before, and he talks about the bees. That was such a beautiful thing, how he watches them on the porch, I say, and just see what they're doing. It's quite fun.
How many hives have you got up and running at the moment?
Approximately 100. I always say that's my limit, 100.
how many bees would that be?
Oh, there's 60,000 in each beehive, so times that by 100, yeah. About.
Lordy.
Yeah, there's a few.
You're on first name terms with most of them, or
just my queens. Just my queens.
Oh, Vicky, it's an extraordinary world, and as we've been discovering there, something which is increasingly attractive to an increasing number of people. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Vicky Brown from the Urban Beehive, and before that we heard from Shay Wilcox, who's an urban beekeeper. Blueprint here on RN.